It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district? What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It's not fair that just because you're big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team that I work with. That's producer Steve, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And producer Steve, this is your last day before you go into retirement. And it's been quite a ride, well over 4.5 years together.
Yeah, and almost 9 years here at Crawford. But this is it. This is it. That's all. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either, but I do thank you for your dedication and your hard work. And through those over 4.5 years, I think there were only, with the Kim Munson Show, only 2 days that we did not have original content. That was because of late-breaking stuff that happened. With America's Veteran Stories, these are such wonderful nuggets of our history that we do rebroadcast those sometimes. But I thank you for your dedication in making all that happen, Steve.
Well, and you as well. I mean, COVID, in that 4.5 years, you know what was right in the middle of that. It certainly threw us a lot of curves, but we adapted, and here we are.
Here we are. So I thank you, Steve, and really appreciate everything. And young Joe, he yesterday was Liberty Toastmasters Day, which always there's a lot going on with all the different phone lines. And of course, Rick Rome announced that he is running for Centennial City Council, and Terry Goon announced that she is running for Longmont Mayor, which is so exciting. But Joe, you were just ecstatic after the show because we got through it and you did really, really well.
Yes, ma'am. I really felt like I accomplished something.
And you did. So good for you.
And, you know, I hope you're keeping a scorecard. In my mind, that's the third person who has announced on your show that, you know, what their future intentions were.
Yes, and yes, and we are going to be getting into election season, and there's people are asking about hope, and there is such great hope, and I'm working mentally on trying to figure out how to make all this work. Any candidate that reaches out to me, I will give them some time on the show. And there are many people that are stepping forward to run for city council and school board, and so we'll be starting working on that after Labor Day, which is obviously this weekend, because we want you to get to know the candidates and also just give them some time so that they're able to let people know more what they're all about. And so we will work on that. Check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get a first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And we will be rolling out in the newsletter this weekend tickets to the event for a climate conversation, which the event will be on Thursday, September 28th at Rockley's Event Center in Lakewood. Tickets are $20. I think there's a special deal for couples, but we'll screen the movie. There will be wine, beer, and food and other non-alcoholic drinks. And then after we screen the movie, the scientists that are in the movie actually are all coming in. King Gregory from Canada, Gregory Wrightstone from the East Coast, and Ron Stein from the West Coast will all be here for a panel discussion. And a climate conversation is really the idea of Walt Johnson. He is a geophysicist, and it had been on his heart to have a real conversation about the climate, because if we continue on this particular trajectory, the economic devastation that we will see as a country and as individuals will be significant. And so Walt decided that he wanted to make a movie instead of writing another book. And because there's so many books out there about this. And so we would love to have you join us. So it will be first come, first serve, obviously. And we will roll those tickets out this weekend in the weekly newsletter. And the text line is 720-605-0647. That's 720-605-0647. And I think we're going to be light on Open Line Friday today. I'm scheduled to have Dr. Patrick Moore on, and he's on the West Coast, and our show is quite early for people on the West Coast, so I always like to try to give the West Coast guests that second hour, and so I think that that is what we have on the plans there for that. Our America's Veterans Stories show this Sunday is an interview with Steve Hadley. He was in the Navy during the Korean War, and he flew in a two-man plane as a navigator, and they were looking for North Korean subs and submarines. And so it is a super interesting interview, and would recommend that you check that out. Our word of the day is courage. And it's a noun, and it's the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or the vicissitudes with self-possession, confidence, and resolution, bravery. And my sentence is, there is talk of new COVID lockdowns, and each of us will need to dig deep and find the courage to say no. No to PBIs taking our freedoms and moving us towards tyranny. And so the word today is courage. That should be hopefully pretty easy for all of us to use in a sentence. Since it is Friday, I will be quoting from the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values. And you can find more information about the Center for American Values by going to AmericanValuesCenter.org. I will be down there for 9/11, and right out front of the center, and the center's on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado, there is a World Trade Center steel memorial. And members of the New York City Fire Department participated in the dedication of this breathtaking exhibit made of steel from the World Trade Center. It's now located at the center's entrance. So at 7:58, we will record that last segment for 9/11 so that I can actually be there for at 7:58. They will ring the bell, and that is to signify when the first tower went down. But would love to have you join us that afternoon. There will be an On Values presentation, and it's by two people I've gotten to know, and that is Joan Anello. She is the widow of Joe Anello, who was a Korean War veteran. It's a remarkable story. And then also Henry Jones, who is on the board of the Center for American Values. So we'll tell you more about that next week, but would love to have you join us for that, and that is in the afternoon. So again, more information, you can find that at AmericanValuesCenter.org. That's AmericanValuesCenter.org. So the quote is from the Medal of Honor quote book, and it's by Tiber Ted Rubin, United States Army, Medal of Honor. So Ted obviously was the name that he went by, but his given name was Tiber. He was a Hungarian-American Army corporal, a Holocaust survivor who immigrated to the United States in 1948, and he fought in the Korean War and was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during the war as a combatant and prisoner of war. And he received the award from President George W. Bush. He was born in 1929. He died in 2015. And this is his citation. It says, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty, Corporal Rubin distinguished himself by extraordinary heroism during the period from July 23, 1950 to April 20, 1953, while serving as a rifleman with Company I, 8th Cavalry Regiment, 1st Cavalry Division in the Republic of Korea. While his unit was retreating to the Pusan perimeter, Corporal Rubin was assigned to stay behind to keep open the vital Taegu-Pusan road link used by his withdrawing unit. During the ensuing battle, overwhelming numbers of North Korean troops assaulted a hill defended solely by Corporal Rubin. He inflicted a staggering number of casualties on the attacking force during his personal 24-hour battle, single-handedly slowing the enemy advance and allowing the 8th Cavalry Regiment to successfully complete its withdrawal. Following the breakout from the Pusan perimeter, the 8th Cavalry Regiment proceeded northward and advanced into North Korea. During the advance, he helped capture several hundred North Korean soldiers. On October 30, 1950, Chinese forces attacked his unit and Unsan, North Korea, during a massive nighttime assault. That night and throughout the next day, he manned a 30-caliber machine gun at the south end of the unit's line after three previous gunners became casualties. He continued to man his machine gun until his ammunition was exhausted. His determined stand slowed the pace of the enemy advance in his sector, permitting the remnants of his unit to retreat southward. As the battle raged, Corporal Rubin was severely wounded and captured by the Chinese. Choosing to remain in the prison camp despite offers from the Chinese to return him to his native Hungary, Corporal Rubin disregarded his own personal safety and immediately began sneaking out of the camp at night in search of food for his comrades. Breaking into enemy food storehouses and gardens, he risked certain torture or death if caught. Corporal Rubin provided not only food to the starving soldiers, but also desperately needed medical care and moral support for the sick and wounded of the POW camp. His brave, selfless efforts were directly attributed to saving the lives of as many as 40 of his fellow prisoners. Corporal Rubin's gallant actions in close contact with the enemy and unyielding courage and bravery while in prisoner of war are in the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself and the United States Army. And this is his quote. He said, "God bless America, my home sweet home, and all the brave men and women who serve her past, present, and future." And again, that's Tiber Rubin, went by Ted Rubin. A rather remarkable story, Producer Joe.
Yes, ma'am. Very much so.
These are the things that movies are really made of. But just think about his life, a Holocaust survivor, prisoner of war, camp survivor. And again, he was born in 1929 and he died in 2015. And we get to do the show because of the sponsors that I have and also because of all the support that you give to us as well. And I know each and every one of these sponsors and highly recommend them. And a great way to support the show is to give them your business if you need their goods or services. And the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is one of those great sponsors. And they can create personalized insurance plans to cover all your needs, from protection for your cars to your home, condo, boat, motorcycle, business, and renter's coverage. Contact the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubservices.com.
No matter how you define it, inflation is out of control. Increasing prices at the gas pump and grocery stores are hurting everyday people. All these challenges we face are preventable. Individuals must understand what is going on and who is responsible. That is why Kim Munson is bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing our families, our communities, our state, and our country. Now more than ever, it's important to support Kim's independent voice. She has the courage to research and inform you about the real issues. It's not easy, and Kim could use your help. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute. Again, help Kim by contributing at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.com.
It's Friday. It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Another sponsor of the show is Hooters Restaurants. And in fact, Kurt Gerwitz was in yesterday. We recorded hour number two with Kurt for Monday for Labor Day. And then we decided to go to Hooters Restaurants for lunch. And I had their delicious fish and chips, which was just terrific. And Kurt had the fish tacos, which is, we always order the same thing. I get the fish and chips. He gets the fish tacos. But they have specials Monday through Friday. For lunch. Wednesdays are Wings Day. You buy 20 wings, you get an additional 10 for free, and that's for to go or to dine in. And how they became sponsors of the show. It's a very important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism bumping up against PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And you can find that story at my website. Producer Steve, you had something that came across your radar that you wanted to chat a little bit about. And that is Massachusetts and the governor of Massachusetts. So set this up for us.
Well, apparently all is not well in Democrat land. And, you know, what they've shown us in the last 10 years is this remarkable lockstep unity. Well, this type of story, these types of stories say, like, not so quick. All right. The kind of the minor side of this is that the Democrat Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey is activating her state's National Guard to assist in the emergency shelters and the housing of migrants. She says, Massachusetts is in a state of emergency, and we need all hands on deck to meet this moment and ensure families that they have access to safe shelter and basic services. Okay, well, you kind of expect that from the governor of the state. I'm just kind of thinking, is she going out on a limb? Because, you know, the obvious spotlight will, you know, swing from her over to the Biden administration. And for all the, you know, the damage that's being done to states where the migrants are being, you know, sent. Now, kind of a side story to all this is what's happening in New York State's Congressional District 11. And this very brave representative, her name is Nicole Malliotakis, and she's quite public. She's having these press conferences. She's standing behind the seal of the state of New York, and she's saying things like, I mean, she's taking the governor of New York and the mayor of New York City to task. And in this statement, she and several of her colleagues gathered from New York and responded to New York Governor Kathy Hochul's request for more federal funds and access to more federal lands to deal with the migrant crisis created by Joe Biden and made worse by the governor of New York State. And then, you know, not to be last but not least, Mayor Eric Adams. She says this letter is in response to a letter that the governor sent to President Biden on August 24th, which requested the federal government expedite work authorizations, which could grant migrants the right to vote in New York City, municipal elections, provide free metro cards, health care services, educational programs, and Section 8 housing vouchers. And quote, she says, rather than calling on President Biden to end his executive orders, which created this crisis in the first place and secure our nation's border, you're, in reference to the governor, and New York City Mayor's Adams repeated decisions to continue saddling New Yorkers with this problem through the implementation of failed policy have ushered in chaos across our state. So much for the unity.
Well, and just listen to all the free stuff that they're asking for from the federal government. And under federalism, how America was founded, where the federal government was supposed to be contained within certain things that they do, and they're way out of their realm. And a lot of that happened because I would say because of the federal income tax, because now that, and that happened back in what, 1913, 1914. We talked with Brian Dimitrovic about that. But if New York wants to make these decisions, the city of New York and the state of New York, they should be responsible for those decisions. But instead, they are now going to the federal government and asking for money from all the neighbors, as well as money from our children, because there's printing so much money and borrowing for this particular problem. So instead of solving this problem, they actually are making it worse. But just listen to all the free stuff that they want for these migrant families. And meanwhile, we have veterans that need help. We have families that are struggling in many ways because of higher unpredictable taxes and inflation. And their solution instead is just to give away free stuff. And this is really affecting the fabric of our communities. So good for this this representative to start to call this out. And I think that what we're seeing is the radical activist left that has taken over the Democrat Party is really over here by themselves. We're going to start to see this big, broad, messy middle of your moderate blue dog Democrats and unaffiliated libertarians, Republicans, conservatives. That big middle is now saying enough. And so we are working to reclaim our country. We're working to reclaim our state. Colorado is in a very difficult situation. Jared Polis is, my hat's off to him. I think that he is a very savvy politician, and he has really good handlers, because there are those that still call him a libertarian. But bear in mind, he is the head of the Democrat Party here in Colorado. And just this last week, the Democrat Party, there was a vacancy in the state house, and they actually appointed a avowed cultural Marxist to that seat in the state house. So Colorado, we are really, really in trouble because the radical activists are in control of the state. And then that goes back to elections have consequences. Well, I think that we have legalized for sure election manipulation in Colorado, and we can talk about other things as well. But when you have all of these mail-in ballots that are flying all over the state and there is no effort to clean up the voter rolls, right there, that is rife for election manipulation. And one has to ask why. Steve, you wanted to make a comment?
Well, again, I'm just going kind of summarize what I already said. Again, you've got a Democrat governor of Massachusetts shining a light on what's going on in her state due to this failed policy. You've got this representative, and again, her name is Nicole Malliotakis, congressional. Okay. The District 11 in New York State, Staten Island. I mean, she's really she's out there, and I just hope her constituents appreciate what she's doing in terms of, you know, she's blasting back at the governor of New York. She's blasting off at the mayor of New York City. And by her statements, what did she say in the other quote that I didn't get to? Kathy Hochul and Biden are continuing to incentivize illegal immigration. That's powerful stuff. So again, so much for the unity that we've been seeing. People have had enough.
Well, and one of the things that you said in there is, and we're seeing this in different municipalities as well, and that is allowing illegal immigrants to actually vote in elections.
I'm glad
so when we talk about elections have consequences, and so this automatic voter registration is a real problem. So, it's a big problem. And good for her for calling it out.
Yes.
Okay, let's move over to another story. This is from our friend Josh Phillip. from the Epic Times, and an excellent piece. And I think that Janie sent this to me. It says, exposing the secret rebranding of ESG. It says, one of the titans of the New World Vanguard is in its death throes. This is ESG, environmental, social, and governance policies. ESG is the gun being held to the head of big corporations, forcing them to adopt policies that often go against both profits and the interests of consumers. The system works heavily through investment firms, which use their control of money to award or punish companies based on how well they align with the New World Globalist agenda. But that agenda is reaching the end of the road. The problem? Consumers. The people who buy the products. It looks like they don't want ESG. Look at Bud Light, Target, Disney. The anti-woke boycotts are tearing into their profits. And all this has sent a message. Push an agenda that people don't want, and people won't buy your products. Stand against the values of your customers, and they'll boycott you. This pushback is having a ripple effect on the market. Businesses that adopted these ESG standards make choices that harm their bottom line, and they're losing money. This means they're breaking their fiduciary duty to shareholders. They're making dumb decisions that are costing people their investments, and people are losing money because of ESG. Steve, you had a comment?
Well, you know, Glenn Beck, I listen to him often when I'm driving, and he is probably one of the most expert guys out there on ESG. I think he even included it in his last book, a really under the microscope look at it. But just this week, he said the very same thing, you know, echoed what you're saying. And the major corporations that are kind of rethinking this, most of them are in the financial industry or sector. And it's real. It's like they've gone out on this branch, and their shareholders or their bottom line is all, it's all indicating that maybe this wasn't the smartest thing to do.
Well, and then the next thing that's going to occur is going to be lawsuits. And Joshua went ahead to say this. He said, and aside from the threat of lawsuits, why would investors put their money in businesses that will lose money so that they can push a political agenda? This is even beside the point that ESG may be breaking antitrust laws. In other words, ESG is losing support from consumers. It's losing shareholders. Companies that use it now risk legal threats. The agenda behind it all is being rejected. It is dying. And then Joshua goes on to say, you can see the death of ESG in the new policies of one of its former top advocates, BlackRock Investment. The company managed about $10 trillion in assets in 2021. That's equivalent to about 40% of the American GDP. They're expected to top $15 trillion in the next 5 years. They're abandoning ESG. Back in 2021, they voted to adopt 47% of the ESG proposals. This was cut in half the following year. And this year, they only approved about 7% of the ESG proposals. Of course, that's still a lot, given how much money the firm controls, but you can see the trajectory. They're getting rid of ESG because of shareholder demands, and shareholders want to get rid of it because consumers don't want it. So this is, I think, something very positive, but bear in mind, the globalist elites that are pushing this agenda are not going to give up. But it is very heartening to see that as consumers, people making choices with their dollars, that this is starting to affect these decisions by these big, big companies. But, for example, with Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light, the damage that this decision has done to, I think, of all the people that worked for Anheuser-Busch and for Bud Light. And I mean, just think about the delivery truck people and the distributors. And so I think that there probably will be some pretty significant lawsuits. Of course, by this time, the management will probably be fired, and they'll be doing something else. But the damage is significant, but it is important that consumers have spoken on this. And so, again, it takes time, but there's some really great positive things that are happening. And we talk about all these things because we have great sponsors like Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning REMAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Bosun Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Bosun Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at KimMunson.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's finally Friday. It is Friday, and welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And right around the corner is Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week, September 11th through the 17th. And it is just amazing what this little town and the beautiful Rocky Mountains does. This is their 12th year to do this. And they have all kinds of events. And on September 11th, to kick it off, Professor Rob Nadelson will present at 5 o'clock regarding our current Supreme Court, not conservative, but fractured. And so go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com to find all the events. And I will be up there on the 16th for the main event. And would love to have you join us up there. I'm really pleased to have on the line with me Andrew Rickert, and he is with the Colorado Water Conservation Board. And I was at an event well over a month ago now, and we have been having some wild weather here in the Front Range and hailstorms, and of course we don't typically have tornadoes right up against the mountains, but that occurred. And somebody said, well, we have a weather modification program here in Colorado. And I said, really? And yes, we do. So Andrew Rickert, welcome. I want to talk with you about that.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good morning, Kim.
It's great to have you. And Colorado's had a weather modification program for a while. So what is it exactly, Andrew?
Yeah, so, I mean, Colorado has been experimenting with weather modification since the early 70s. And, you know, basically we have these programs set up around the state, and our hopes is to augment snowpack to increase spring runoff to, you know, help with all the drought that's going on right now.
Okay, and so this started in 1970. What's the process? What happens with weather modification?
Yeah, so basically, you know, there's two different kinds. We have a ground-based and aerial. Colorado has one aerial program, one permitted aerial program, and seven permitted ground-based programs. And basically, without getting too scientific, you know, a small amount of silver iodide is sprayed across a propane flame. That silver iodide particles are vaporized and rise up into the cloud. The silver iodide causes cloud moisture to freeze and create ice crystals, and then the ice crystals continue to grow until they're big enough to fall out as snowflakes.
Okay, how do you measure success on the programs, Andrew?
So, you know, all my different contractors that I work with around the state are required to turn in annual reports at the end of the season, and they use a bunch of different regression analysis models to kind of try to quantify how much extra acre feet we're actually adding into the snowpack. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies on this. This is one thing that we're constantly trying to do more studies on, though. But, you know, we tend to like to say that we can add, you know, 5 to 12% of additional snow water equivalent into the snowpack. So, you know, if we have a storm that's coming through that's going to produce 10 inches of snow by itself, just naturally, if we seed that storm, we could get an extra inch of snow out of that storm. But, you know, over the course of an entire winter of, you know, 20 to 30 storms across the whole state, that can be hundreds of thousands of acre feet of additional water.
So how is it that we are having droughts if, in fact, we are seeding clouds for moisture? How, because we continue to hear the word drought, although we had a really, you know, wet spring. Eventually, we had a really wet spring. So how does that match up, Andrew?
I mean, so, you know, weather modification, you know, that's just one of the tools in the toolbox to combat against drought. You know, we're always going to have to, you know, work with just trying to save water and store water. So, you know, it's just an additional tool that we have. But, you know, just, you know, we have to keep working at it. You know, every winter is different. We know that here in Colorado. So, you know, if we don't have all the correct characteristics of a storm, you know, we can't seed that. So, you know, everything has to be right. Wind direction, wind speed, temperature. So, you know, we can't seed every storm. And then you also, you know, you need the presence of clouds and supercooled liquid water. So there's a lot of different factors, but, you know, we're definitely trying to seed whenever we can to just, you know, get a little bit more out of those, out of the storms.
Okay. Andrew, you mentioned something that piqued my interest, and that is storage. It seems that, well, and because really of the enviros, that we've not been able to build new storage for quite some time here in Colorado. And it to me, it seems like it makes a lot of sense to try to create more storage so that when we have our wet years, that we are able to prepare for the really dry years. So what do you think about new storage and what's the challenges with that?
I mean, I'm always for new storage. You know, we have projects going on right now around the state. You know, there's a lot of other factors you have to consider. You know, Bear Creek Lake, we're looking at increasing storage there. But, you know, to do that, you know, some trails get flooded. You know, we have to, you know, increase the level of water. So, you know, some people, you know, that riparian area around the water we already have, you know, that goes up and we lose that area. So, you know, there's just a lot of different, you know, a lot of different factors involved. But, you know, I'm always pro storage. And it's also, you know, obviously, you know, very expensive to create reservoirs. So, I mean, there's just a lot of different factors involved.
Okay. Do you anticipate any new, you mentioned Bear Creek Lake, any other potential new storage of facilities in the works right now, or what are you hearing?
You know, actually, you know, that's not really my field at the agency. But I know, you know, there's some projects up around Fort Collins with NISP, you know, looking to create some additional storage, some additional reservoirs. You know, I think, you know, it's just something, you know, Colorado, you know, has to be, you know, has to understand that, you know, storage is important. But my, you know, to be honest, my field is much more in the weather modification sector.
Okay. Okay. So tell me, and I'm over here, it's cwcb.colorado.gov, and I see the picture of something, it looks like it must be the ground-based. So how is this delivered, you know, on the ground-based part of this whole thing?
You mean how do the generators work?
Yeah, how is the seeding actually done regarding, first of all, the ground-based equipment and then also the aerial? I'm interested to find
sure,
that
so,
out.
Yeah, so basically, you know, for the ground-based, we have two different kinds of feeders. We have a manual feeder that, you know, is basically, you know, it's in the back of somebody's yard, and they have to go out and physically turn it on. So, you know, my contractors work with, you know, different agricultural producers, you know, different private citizens that have these things on their private property. You know, when the storm is, the characteristics are right, you know, my guy will call up these people and tell them to go out and physically turn on their generator for a specific duration of time. And then we have our new remote generators. And these are what I'm constantly trying to replace the older manual generators with. These remote generators are very nice. They are basically controlled by a tablet. So they can be turned on and off, you know, by my contractor, you know, sitting in his living room. And the other nice thing about these is, you know, we can put them in the field at elevations and areas that, you know, you can't typically get to during the winter, you know, unless you have a snowmobile. So they're just very effective at cloud seeding. But, you know, that's basically the two different types for ground-based. And then we also have our aerial program. Colorado has one permitted aerial program up in the North Platte, targeting the Never Summer Mountain Range, and that's actually done by a plane, and a plane will either, you know, fly through or above a cloud that has, you know, the super cool liquid water, and they will burn flares, burn-in-place flares that are, like, physically mounted on the plane, or they have ejectable flares that they will fly over the cloud and drop these flares, and they will fall through the cloud, emitting this silver iodide as it falls, and they burn up before they hit the ground. But yeah, that's the, you know, those are the two ways we're physically seeding clouds in Colorado.
And do you do cloud seeding year round? Because I know that people, you know, this has been a significant hail season, and Colorado, the Front Range, is one of the hail capitals of the world. There's tremendous damage that has been has occurred because of these hail storms. Is that something that cloud seeding might have affected?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up because I know you touched on that in your intro. But so actually, Colorado's cloud seeding programs, the season is from November 1st to April 15th. Sometimes, every once in a while, if we have late season storms, my contractors will ask me if they can extend their season to the end of April, so, you know, another 2 weeks. But that's typically the season for cloud seeding in Colorado. So, you know, at least by the end of April, all of our operations have stopped. So, you know, all this extra rain and hail, cloud seeding is not responsible for any of that. But in the weather modification field, some states like the Dakotas, I think Texas as well, they do cloud seeding specifically for hail suppression. So, you know, if you see that there's going to be a storm coming through that should have, you know, really damaging big hail, you can actually seed that storm, you know, summertime seeding. You can seed that storm, and what it basically does is create more droplets in the cloud. So if you're going to have hail, the hail's much smaller and will do less damage. So there are areas around the United States that do hail suppression. Colorado does not. We don't have any summertime weather modification activities.
And I didn't realize that this is really across the nation. So do all states have weather modification programs, or is it just certain states?
It's much more western states, you know, California, Utah, New Mexico, Wyoming, Texas, the Dakotas. Montana's looking to get into the weather modification field. But those are the states that primarily do it in the United States. It's done all around the world, to be honest. I mean, like, you know, Afghanistan does some cloud seeding. Australia, you know, it's definitely all around the world.
Wow, I had no idea, Andrew. This is absolutely fascinating. I'm talking with Andrew Rickert, and he is with the Colorado Weather Modification Program. And I have some more questions for him. And like I say, I did not really realize that this was occurring here. So I'm learning a lot from Andrew Rickert. And we get to do this because we have sponsors like Lauren Levy.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms wants you to be comfortable with your firearm purchase, so they make it easy for you. At Franktown, they know you want to try a firearm before you commit to your purchase. Franktown has a 10-lane, 30-yard range built into it that can handle handguns, rifles, and black powder loads, making your firearm purchase informed and insightful. An hour of range time is included with any purchase so you can verify that you've made the right choice and for you to get to know your new firearm. And training courses are available to teach you safety and techniques to operate it confidently. Whether you're a first-time buyer or seasoned expert, Franktown's dedicated staff and expert trainers will walk you through your decision. They help you to try the firearms that you're interested in, ensuring that they're the right option for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for your first firearm or adding to your vast collection, contact Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Indeed, it is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And something special is happening up in Grand Lake, Colorado, September 11th through the 17th. This will be their 12th annual U.S. Constitution Week. And Tuesday, they've got two different things going on. At noon, Kelly D. Johnston will present regarding the U.S. Capitol history, the home of Article 1. And that evening, Randy Moorhead will, and that's at 5 p.m., will present on the First Amendment and money in politics. So that's going to be super interesting. You can get more information by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. I have on the line with me Andrew Rickert, and he is with Colorado's Weather Modification Program. And Andrew, I'm fascinated that this has been going on, you said, since the early 1970s, correct?
Correct, yeah. I mean, they started really doing a lot of research in the weather modification field as early as the 1950s. And, you know, that's when they started using silver iodide. They found that that's, you know, a really important and a safe thing to use in cloud seeding. But Colorado got into it in the early 70s, and it was, you know, primarily ski resorts that were initially interested in this, and obviously that makes sense. But yeah, that's when it took off from Colorado, and it's just, you know, definitely been slowly building. I, you know, just added a new permitted program last year. I'm doing a feasibility study right now for the Yampa White Green area, you know, up by Steamboat and the Flat Tops. They're interested in having a program. So, you know, it's definitely catching on as people start realizing, you know, not only is this a safe thing to do, but, you know, with, you know, the current situation Colorado and the West faces with drought, you know, this is, you know, an important thing that we need to look at.
In a way, it seems to me like man is trying to play God on this, Andrew. What would you say to that?
I mean, you know, I do hear that from people, but I mean, I just, you know, I think, you know, with the some of the situations we face today, you know, we might as well use the technology we have. If we can squeeze a little extra snow out of the clouds and we know it's safe, why not? Because I think what people, you know, if we run out of water, it's going to be, you know, a lot more impactful for the state than what I'm doing.
Okay. And what kind of a budget? So, for example, with contractors, it sounds like it might be just regular people. I mean, what kind of a budget do you have?
So, I get, you know, these are kind of rough numbers, but, you know, I usually have a budget of about $1.5 million to spend on cloud seeding a year. $500,000 of that comes directly from the state through CWCB's project bill. $500,000 comes from local participants like water conservancy districts, ditch companies, ski resorts. And then the remaining $500,000 comes from what we do through this lower basin technical agreement, where I actually get money from New Mexico, California, and Nevada to bolster Colorado's cloud seeding programs.
Okay, and so you're working with other states. What's your comments regarding the water compact of the western states, or is that in your wheelhouse?
That's not really in my wheelhouse. You know, that's constantly ongoing right now. The other states, the lower basin states, you know, are specifically interested in, you know, the Colorado River Basin. So, you know, they primarily direct their $500,000 specifically towards, you know, those programs that specifically enhance and augment snowpack for the Colorado River Basin. So, you know, I have programs up in the North Platte, but obviously those rivers don't specifically have to do with the Colorado River Basin. So, you know, their money doesn't go towards those programs. So specifically the programs have a direct impact on the Colorado River Basin.
Okay. Next question. You mentioned this silver iodide. Do I have that correct?
Correct.
And you need to have propane, fossil fuels to make this work, right? So again, explain how that works exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, basically these generators, they have this propane flame. And what happens is silver iodide is mixed with acetone, and that is sprayed across this propane flame, which vaporizes it, causing it to, you know, float up into the atmosphere, into the cloud base. So, you know, that's the process involved. So we have these generators around the state, and, you know, we have about, I would say, 72 manual generators and 23 remote generators, you know, specifically placed around the state, and they spray the silver iodide across the flame. It is vaporized. It floats up into the cloud, where it causes ice to form, and the ice continues to grow, the ice crystals, until it's big enough to fall out as snowflakes.
That's really fascinating. So how do you know if a storm is coming in, if it's the appropriate clouds that you would want to go ahead and try to do this process?
So we have different instrumentation, but one of the things we have is what is called a radiometer. And basically what that instrument does is it can tell if there's supercooled liquid water in the cloud. And, you know, that's the main thing that you need in a storm to do the silver iodide and create the snow. So, you know, we have these different instruments set up around the state. And then, you know, I have all my contractors, you know, they're during the winter, you know, they're looking at every storm that comes into the state, you know, looking at the wind speed, wind direction, temperature, and then finally, you know, if there's the presence of supercooled liquid water, the main ingredient that you need to create the snowflakes, you know, if all those different factors and characteristics of the storm align, they will go ahead and seed. And, you know, we also do have a lot of safeguards built into our programs as well. You know, if we can see that a storm's going to be naturally efficient and efficient enough that we won't seed it. We also won't seed if there's any chance of any blizzards or flooding or avalanches. And that's why, you know, all of our programs are our target areas, you know, where we're actually trying to land the snow. You know, we specifically, you know, avoid highways and things like that to, you know, keep our programs running as safe as possible.
Okay. And how big is your team, Andrew, that you work with, or is it primarily contractors?
Oh, so, you know, I have about three different contractors that manage their specific permitted program around the state. And then specifically on my team, my colleague, Eric Sky, we work together on this. So he kind of helps me out with a lot of the weather modification stuff. And then, you know, I have my contractors and, you know, on their teams, they have their meteorologists and people that, you know, look at the storms, go out into the field, fix the generators. So, you know, it is definitely a group effort for sure.
Okay. And how did you get interested in this? We have about a minute left. I find this fascinating.
Sure. You know, I've always been interested in water issues around Colorado. And when I initially came into CWCB, I worked under my mentor, Joe Busto. And, you know, he was just like this weather modification guru. And he kind of just took me under his wing. And I just kept learning through him. And eventually, I got to the spot I am today where I've been, you know, the head program manager for the Colorado Water Conservation Board in the weather modification. You know, we manage all the different programs around the state. So, you know, I've been into it for about 5 years now, but, you know, I'm with you. I find it interesting. And, you know, as we move along and technology gets better and the studies we do get better, and we can just make sure we're running, you know, the most efficient and safest programs possible to benefit all the people of Colorado.
Okay. Well, Andrew Rickert, I really appreciate you taking the time to explain this. And I find it absolutely fascinating. And I will be ruminating on all of these different things that you shared with us today. So, Andrew Rickert, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Yes, and I'm always trying to learn about a variety of different things. And when I learned that we have a weather modification program here in Colorado, I thought it would be great to get Andrew on the show. So we will be talking with Dr. Patrick Moore in the second hour. And then the last segment of the second hour, we'd love to hear from you as well. That line is 303-477-5600. But I went to Dale Carnegie for our quote for the end of the show. And he said this: most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
An early childhood taxing district? What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It's not fair that just because you're big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team that I work with. That's producer Steve, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, Producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And Producer Steve, this is his last day with the Kim Munson Show before he goes into retirement. So, Producer Steve, it's been quite a ride the last 4.5+ years, and I greatly appreciate your dedication to all that we're doing.
Well, that's certainly a mutual sentiment here. The opportunity that you put in front of me, and as well as Crawford Broadcasting, it's been, you know, let's see, as little as 10 years ago, I would have never have dreamed it would, I would have come to something like this and I guess been reasonably good at it. And it's just been such a blessing. So thank you.
Well, and a credit to you, Steve, because you never know with these, I call them holy nudges, what will happen. And when we did the interview with you last week and you said you were, in a way, I think reinventing yourself, you went to broadcast school and you were the old guy there with all these young people. But I think that's a real credit to you to want to learn, to want to get better. And I think that that's something that we all can take some inspiration for, is when you get those nudges, take that step and do it.
It's funny how it manifests itself in within you, because I didn't necessarily think of reinventing myself. I just think, oh, here's another goal, and you've got to do it. But it was like what we said last week when you and I sat down in that in that segment where you were actually interviewing me. There comes a time where you realize that there are certain things unfolding in your life that may not have been totally you. That's maybe something else was happening. And that happened twice in my life. Like I said, that time it was my entry into the military, the Air Force. But then it happened again in my 50s in terms of being ushered out of one job and something else was out there. But how did it come about? I don't know.
It's called life. And when we get those nudges, we just have to continue to step forward. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate your dedication to the show. And you will be missed. And so thank you so much, Steve. Our quote, our word of the day is courage. And it is the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or vicissitudes with self-possession, confidence, and resolution, bravery. And the sentence I created was, there is talk of new COVID lockdowns, and each of us will need to dig deep and find the courage to say no. No to PBIs taking our freedoms and moving us towards tyranny. Which, that's a great segue to talk about this course that I'm going to be taking through IPAC-EDU. That's IPAC-EDU.org. And the instructor is Brad Miller. We had him on recently, and he says our first lesson is going to be regarding the upcoming course on literature as resistance, recognizing, unmasking, and countering totalitarian tendencies. And so I'm very excited about that. Christy Whaley's going to be taking that as well. And you can get more information about all the courses at ipac-edu.org. And Dr. James Linesweiler put this together to match up people that are intellectually curious, that want to learn. Inspiration, for example, with Producer Steve going to broadcast school, and excellent instructors. And you can find all of those courses at ipac-edu.org. And most all of them will start next week now that we've gotten through Labor Day. So again, check that out at ipac-edu.org. Our quote of the day, and I gave the complete citation, is from Tiber. That's his given name, Ted Rubin, a United States Army Medal of Honor recipient. And he was a Hungarian-American Army corporal. He was a Holocaust survivor. He immigrated to the U.S. in 1948. He fought in the Korean War, was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during the war, both as a combatant and a prisoner of war. And he received that award from President George W. Bush. And Ted Rubin was born in 1929. He died in 2015. And he said this, God bless America, my home sweet home, and all of the brave men and women who serve her, past, present, and future. And again, I'm taking these quotes from the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values. And you can get more information about the Center for American Values by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And I missed some of these text messages. I thought I was staying on top of it. And so I'm going to try to get these answers for you. These are some of the questions that came in regarding Andrew Rickert with the Colorado Weather Modification Program. One of the questions was, do they do this weather modification with the military? So I'll find out on that. That's from Gammy. And another question, what is silver iodide? If it gets into our water system, is it safe for human consumption? So I'll try to get an answer to that. And another comment is food, water, air, they're no longer the same. So again, I will check that out. The text line is 720-605-0647. It says, really going to miss Steve. All the best to him and his family. I hope he comes and visits with us on the program. He has such a pleasant, pleasing, calming voice. There you go, producer Steve. Did you ever think that that you would be described as a pleasant, pleasing, calming voice?
He stepped out of the room, but I'm sure he didn't expect that at all.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Okay. Let's see. I did want to mention another thing, and this is from the Epoch Times as well. And this was I had seen this headline come through, but then I couldn't find it. So I was doing a web search for this particular article, and guess what? I couldn't find it. It wasn't coming up. The search engines were not bringing it up. So this was just published a few days ago by Naveen Anthropoli at the Epoch Times. And the headline is, over 1,600 scientists and professionals sign no climate emergency declaration. And it says, international scientists have jointly signed this, dismissing the existence of a climate crisis and insisting that carbon dioxide is beneficial to the Earth. There is no climate emergency, the Global Climate Intelligence Clintel said in its World Climate Declaration. And they made this public in August. It says, climate science should be less political, while climate policy should be more scientific. Scientists should openly address certain uncertainties and exaggerations in their predictions of global warming, while politicians should be dispassionately count the real costs as well as the imagined benefits of their policy measures. Is a total of 1,609 scientists and professionals from around the world have signed the declaration, including 321 from the United States. The coalition pointed out that Earth's climate has varied as long as it has existed, with the planet experiencing several cold and warm phases. The Little Ice Age only ended as recently as 1850. Therefore, it is no surprise that we are now experiencing a period of warming. And warming is happening far slower than predicted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And I find it heartening that we have this declaration that is signed by these scientists and professionals. And the timing is just great for our A Climate Conversation documentary, which we will screen on September 28th. Out at Rockley's Event Center in Lakewood. Tickets will go on sale this weekend, and you can they'll be in my newsletter, and so you can be sure and check that out there. The show comes to you because of wonderful sponsors, and one of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And as a State Farm agent for 47 years, Roger Mangan has served his customers, provided for his family, and given back to the communities of Centennial, Littleton, Highlands Ranch, Inglewood, Greenwood Village, as well as Castle Rock. So for help with all of your insurance needs, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's Friday!
Indeed, it is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. The text line is 720-605-0647. And very pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Patrick Moore. And he's a co-founder of Greenpeace and served for 9 years as president of Greenpeace Canada and 7 years as a director of Greenpeace International. In recent years, Dr. Moore has been focused on the promotion of sustainability and consensus building among competing concerns. And he was a member of British Columbia's government-appointed roundtable on the environment and economy from 1990 to 1994. And then in 1990, he founded and chaired the BC Carbon Project. In 2013, he published Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. And it documents his 15 years with Greenpeace. Dr. Patrick Moore, welcome to the show.
It's nice to hear your voice again, Kim.
It's good to talk with you as well, and I have all kinds of questions. But the first thing, Dr. Moore, that I'd like to ask about is we are seeing, I think, rumblings of a climate lockdown. What do you think about that? Is that a possibility?
I suppose it is. I think anything is a possibility in this crazy world today. Now they're saying that hurricanes are caused by climate change. When, you know, it used to be that we distinguished between weather events and climate change. Climate change is a long-term effect. It's when the whole system changes over a 100-year period or so. And, of course, we are in the modern warm period now, which started in 1600. That was the peak of the Little Ice Age, when the River Thames in England froze over regularly. It hasn't frozen over since 1814 because it started getting warmer 420 years ago. And it's just been gradually getting a little bit warmer since then. And now it's about 1 degree Celsius, 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit, warmer on average on this Earth than it was 400 years ago. That is not something to worry about. It's okay if the Earth warms by 1 degree. The Earth was 16 degrees Celsius warmer 50 million years ago than it is now. We are at the tail end of a 50 million year cooling period into this Pleistocene ice age, which we are in today. People think the ice age ended 20,000 years ago during the most recent glacial maximum, which is one of 40 glacial maximums that has occurred in the Pleistocene. All of this is easy to look up. Even Wikipedia covers it fairly well. So it's hard to believe that people don't look into this, but I know everybody has a busy life. And I've been lucky enough to focus on this stuff for 50 years now, and I've got a lot of stuff in my brain about it. But the fact of the matter is there is no climate emergency. There are emergencies due to extreme weather events which have been happening since the beginning of time. And actually, the number of people who die from extreme weather events has gone down by 90% since 1900, just 120 years ago, because we have better houses, we have better warning systems for winter. You know, it used to be there was no warning for hurricanes. They just came and everybody had to deal with it because there wasn't any weather forecasting at one time. So a lot of people would die from a hurricane. These days, everybody's ready for them. They get their shutters up and or evacuate and come back after the hurricane is over. So, you know, the idea that we are living in dangerous times right now is preposterous. We have a much better system of making sure that people don't get affected so much by weather than we had in the past.
So, Patrick, one of the headlines that that ran across earlier today was that this hurricane that just hit Florida and Georgia, I think it's Idalia, that it was the worst hurricane in those areas for 135 years. Okay, so you hear that headline, you say, oh my gosh, it's a terrible hurricane. But then you hear the next thing is in 135 years. So that means that there were bad hurricanes back then as well. And I think that it's important that people connect that dot when they hear headlines like that.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Kim, for the saying things. It's been 100 years since it was so hot. Well, that means it was so hot 100 years ago. And the same thing for the hurricane. And hurricanes almost always hit in a slightly different location than they did the last time. They're not always on, like, they're not on a train track or something. They actually are very random. And you can't predict them perfectly. You may notice when they predict the path of a hurricane, the thing gets wider as you go out because they don't know whether it's going to go left or right or straight down the middle. And so they can always say that this is unlike any other hurricane that has ever happened because no two hurricanes are the same. But this one was not a Category 5, which is the most extreme hurricane. And so they can't say it's the worst, biggest, baddest hurricane that ever happened in the history of the Earth. It is not. And it's sad that there was people died in it, but it was only a few people. Whereas, you know, there was a time when thousands of people would die in hurricanes because they didn't even know they were coming.
So what do you think, Patrick, about the narrative? For example, I'm thinking about John Kerry. He just recently, I think, had flown over to, now I can't remember where exactly, in his jet to talk about the danger of climate change. What's your comments about somebody like that?
In his jet, that's my comment. And he's in his jet every second day, you know, and so are all these people who are buying into this narrative of extreme weather and climate change. It's a total diversion. And here now we have a situation in which the top people in the world who are leading us, or at least in the Western world, are saying that carbon dioxide is what's causing global warming. And global warming is an emergency. And therefore, we have to stop all carbon dioxide from going into the atmosphere. There's absolutely no scientific proof that carbon dioxide is the cause of the slight warming that has occurred since 1600. None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if you look at the two things together, CO2 and temperature, they are not strongly correlated in any way, shape, or form. They're just both going up. But throughout the history of the Earth, CO2 has been out of sync, going opposite to temperature for hundreds of millions of years at a time. So there is no scientific proof that CO2 is causing the warming. It is very much more likely that more subtle factors, such as solar radiation intensity, such as just trends, there are cycles within cycles within cycles in this world's climate. And we know many of them going back. Like, for example, the cycles of glacial maximums during this 2.5 million year Pleistocene ice age that we have been locked into, where both poles are covered in huge sheets of ice and still are. They keep saying they're going to disappear. They haven't even come close to disappearing. They have become slightly smaller because there's been a slight increase in temperature. But that's all it is. And people are now panicking about this to the extent of saying we're going to eliminate more than 80% of our total energy use in the world, which is the fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas. Because when we burn fossil fuels, we emit carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. But that carbon dioxide was in the atmosphere before the plants used it and turned into coal, oil, and gas. All of the fossil fuels are made from life. I don't know what people think they're made from, but they are made from living things. Those living things took carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere to build themselves. We are a carbon-based life form. All life is carbon-based. The carbon in us came from CO2 in the atmosphere. In the oceans, the marine life takes it from the sea. The ocean actually contains nearly 50 times as much CO2 as the atmosphere does. It's such a huge body, and it also absorbs it very easily. And that's the food for life in the sea. So carbon dioxide is actually the basis of life. It is not a poison like they are telling us. They call it a pollutant now, when it is the basis of life. And so it's so backwards that it isn't funny. It's really not funny when you say you're going to take over 80% of the energy out of the social system, out of the human system, out of how we survive every day. And now they're saying you can't have a gas stove. I mean, that's about the cleanest fuel there is in the whole world, is natural gas. The only thing that comes out of it is CO2 and H2O, carbon dioxide and water, the two most important ingredients for all of life. That's how our bodies are operating on, is water and carbon dioxide. It is so bad, I can't believe it. It's now driving me almost nuts to see the way they're talking these days.
Oh, it is. But there's, you know, we continue to shed light on this truth. I mean, the book that you had written is so important. I have the book and would highly recommend that people have that on their bookshelves as well. And again, the book is, let me get the exact title here. It is Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. I'm talking with Dr. Patrick Moore, and we'll continue the conversation here in a moment. But when we talk about climate, Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services can actually help with your own personal climate. Now, that is under attack right now because of regulations and this whole narrative out there. But to have air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter, we are really blessed to have that. And Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services is the company that can help make sure that all that happens for you. As I mentioned, I know all of my sponsors personally and highly recommend them, and just thrilled to have Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services as our sponsor.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubbservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubbservices.com.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's Friday. It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And right around the corner, September 11th through the 17th, is Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week. Wednesday, they have two different things going on. At noon, it will be a movie, The Constitution is the Solution. And that afternoon at 3 o'clock, there will be their online trivia contest, which is always a lot of fun. And then at 5 o'clock, Annie Pate, who is a regular here at KLZ on John Rush's show, will be presenting on how to sell liberty. So again, get all of the events by going to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. And I'm talking with Dr. Patrick Moore, and he was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, and he has written a very important book. It is a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. Patrick Moore, a question for you. The fires in Lahaina, we are seeing, it seems like any tragedy, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties jump on it and say it's because of the environment, when as I'm looking at it, I think that there were very poor decisions that were made. But anytime we see these fires, it seems that there are those that are saying it's because of climate change. What would you say to that, Patrick Moore?
I would say that this is the most recent stupidest thing to attribute fires to. Climate is not hot enough to start a fire. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Fires are started by fire, usually, or electrical wires, which is the most likely candidate here. They are suing the electrical company on Maui for having electrical wires that are too close to vegetation. This is happening, you know, it's really quite a coincidence that the campfire in California that killed nearly 90 people was also caused by a downed power line of PG&E. We know that for sure. And I believe they know for sure now that the Maui fire, the Lahaina fire, was caused by a downed power line. All power lines should have all trees cleared well away from them so that they cannot start a fire. Because, and the same with the grass. There's a lot of exotic grass species that have been taken to the Hawaiian Islands. When they die out seasonally, they become just tinder dry. And this is the problem, is fuel load in our forests and our grasslands. It used to be, in the old days when there were no fossil fuels, that all the dead wood in forests around every community was gathered up in the fall for fuel in the winter. People don't remember that because it was 100 and some years ago. But the fact is, we are allowing fuel to build up, dead limbs falling from the trees, dead trees falling down as they are thinned out as they grow. The forest is a very active situation. And if you just leave for 20 years and don't do anything, you're going to have a lot of dead wood. And when that wood on the ground catches fire by lightning, by a cigarette, by a campfire that wasn't put out properly, you're going to have an inferno, because when the fire gets up into the crown, especially in coniferous needle trees that are pitchy, and then the wind comes up, you can't run as fast as the fire goes. So this is the problem, is forest management is a huge part of it, land management. And then, of course, you had the guy that wouldn't turn on the water because of equity, and then you had the situation of the guy not turning on the siren because he had some excuse that it was supposed to be just for tsunamis, when in fact it turns out that siren was meant for any kind of emergency. So all kinds of fake stories have been made up about this fire, when in fact it was very likely just a simple case of a power line touching a tree, and boom, the whole thing goes. So I think we've really got to get straight about this and use common sense instead of these apocalyptic scenarios that it's got to do with the climate. How can the climate start a tree on fire? You know, yes, weather can start a tree on fire because there has been lightning since the beginning of time. And there was a time before we were here when all forest fires were basically caused by lightning. And forest fires were much more extensive in the past before we had fire suppression. You know, Smokey the Bear was invented by the U.S. Forest Service in the 1930s. And since then, there had been way less land area burned by fires, except now it's starting to increase again because forest management is being governed by Greens in their city who think the best thing to do is just leave it alone. And that is not the best thing to do if you have a city surrounded by trees. You have to manage it. I've got two slides that show one of the campfire in California where all the houses are just burnt right to the ground. The trees did better than the houses in that fire, but the trees were right up against the houses, like tall pine trees. Whereas if you look at, for example, an urban forest like Central Park, which is a really big piece of land, there isn't a coniferous tree, needle tree there. There are broadleaf trees like oaks and willows, etc., aspens, all kinds of broadleaf trees which are not pitchy and which do not cause crown fires like conifers do. It's as simple as that.
Well, and Patrick, so you were one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. And during that time, or perhaps during that time, we saw the environmentalists that really shut down our forestry industry, particularly in the northwest part of the United States. And I've had on a guest that said that in doing so, we used to have logging roads that went into the forest, and if a fire started, you could get in there with these logging roads to put it out. But now that we've shut down that industry, and also to your point, not had good forest management, it creates the opportunity for much hotter and intense fires. So what's your comment about shutting down our forest industry?
I got a lot to say about that. But first, Kim, Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist, is my previous book. My most recent book is titled Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. And it's all about how most of the scare stories today, including climate change, anti-nuclear, and talking about polar bears going extinct and coral reefs dying, almost all the scare stories are based on things that are either invisible, like CO2 and radiation, or very remote, like polar bears and coral reefs, so that nobody can actually witness it for themselves. You can't see things that are invisible. That's pretty obvious. But also, how many people can go to the Arctic and count the polar bears? How many people can go to the Great Barrier Reef and dive over that massive area? And we find out in every single case that these are lies. They announced actually this last summer that the Great Barrier Reef has more coral on it than at any time since they started monitoring it carefully 38 years ago. We find out that the polar bear population has increased from 5,000 to 8,000 up to now 30,000 to 50,000 today because a treaty was signed by all the polar nations in 1973 to end unrestricted hunting of polar bears. Nobody's told about that. That was an international treaty. And yet the extremists go and out to the media and say the polar bears are dying, they're all skinny, they're all drowning on a piece of ice, and it's all lies.
the polar bear population is doing really well. And it would actually be better for them if there was less ice in the summer up there, because when there's less ice, there's more ocean. And when there's more ocean, the sunlight makes more plankton. That's a whole other story. But coming back to forestry, I grew up on a floating logging camp on the northwest tip of Vancouver Island my dad owned. So I was a chokerman and working in the bush all through my childhood, all through my teen years. And I studied forestry at the university, my Bachelor of Sciences in Forestry and Biology. Then I did a PhD in ecology. And during that time is when I first joined Greenpeace to stop the hydrogen bomb testing of the United States and then of France and then on to save the whales. 30,000 whales were still being slaughtered every year in the early 70s, and now there's hardly any because we stopped it. So we did a lot of good work in the early years of Greenpeace, but then they went bad, basically hijacked by the left, who saw the power of the environmental movement and took us over. We weren't politicians. We were mostly scientists and people with just good intentions of doing good things to save the Earth from the things that were in danger. But then all of a sudden, now it's climate change, and it's totally political, has nothing to do with science, and it's a giant industry. The media, the scientists, the politicians, the green movement, as so-called, there's a word that we should watch out for, green. What does green mean? It's a color. Like, sustainability is a good word. Renewability is a good word. Stopping pollution is a good thing. We don't want that. But what's green? They just use it as a marketing term. It has absolutely nothing to do with science. And yet they talk about green energy. Like as if windmills and solar panels are made out of what? What are they made out of? They're made out of non-renewable materials. So how come they call it renewable energy? The sun is renewable. The wind is renewable. But you can't make electricity with just the wind. You have to have windmills. And they are made with minerals, steel and cement and all kinds of things that have to be produced which are not renewable. So calling wind and solar renewable is insane. These machines are not renewable. They are highly unrenewable and have to be replaced on a regular basis, just like other machines do. And they're very inefficient, and they only work about a third of the time. So back to forestry for a sec. Forestry is the most renewable of all the industries on Earth. There is no other material besides wood, which is that important in this world. Food is a different matter. I'm talking about materials that are used to build our civilization. And wood is right up there as the most important one. Like trees actually are the vast bulk of living things. The amazing thing about trees is that they didn't evolve initially when plants evolved. Plants were just a bunch of leaves at first, flat on the ground, like moss and like low-lying plants. It was when lignin was invented by plants that trees came into being. And the whole story of trees, from the beginning of life, when life came out of the sea and plants started growing on the land, and then the forests emerged. And that was one of the most important things that happened in the history of life, because forests are basically 90% of all the biomass on Earth, the forests and the other plants that are in them. If you just look at a mountainside and think of how much people weigh compared to the whole forests of the world and all the other animals included, the forests are a big number. And they are the most renewable resource we have on this earth, along with our food.
Okay, and so good forest management forestry was very important, but they were very successful in shutting down a lot of our forest industry in the Northwest from, and that's my understanding. That's correct. Yes, Patrick?
Yes, that is correct, and it's happening right here in my province of British Columbia in Canada, where mostly American protesters are coming up here and blocking forestry operations on Vancouver Island, saying that we shouldn't cut any more old-growth trees. Like, we got so many old-growth trees here still, you wouldn't believe it. And we're not cutting all the old-growth trees. Only about 25% of our forest here is scheduled for forestry. The rest of it is wild. And there's nothing wrong with the rest of it. So if you're saving 75% of your forest area and only using a quarter of it for forestry, surely that is not going to be the end of the world. And besides which, growing trees, like as if there's something wrong. So now they only want us to cut little trees. They don't want us to cut any big trees anymore. Like, that's what happens with trees. They get bigger as they grow. And so all of a sudden you've got a situation where these trees are getting too big. We better cut them down before they won't let us cut them down anymore. And so it's a bizarre situation. It's about as stupid as the people who are throwing dye onto multi-million dollar worth paintings in museums and chaining themselves to things and gluing themselves to doors and streets. That movement, so-called, environmental movement, so-called, has gone completely nuts. It's just about as bad as the people looting all the stores. And we've got to get back to a more sane situation. Here we have all of the Western world saying they're going to stop using fossil fuels while China is building 2 coal plants a day or a week or something. But, you know, they're way off the charts in terms of how much CO2 they are emitting from coal plants. They're making the solar panels with energy from coal plants. So that's a great idea, isn't it?
It's a great idea. Hey, Dr. Patrick Moore, I've got some other questions for you. And the text line, there's some coming in as well. That's 720-605-0647. We get to have these conversations because of great sponsors like Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
No matter how you define it, inflation is out of control. Increasing prices at the gas pump and grocery stores are hurting everyday people. All these challenges we face are preventable. Individuals must understand what is going on and who is responsible. That is why Kim Munson is bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing our families, our communities, our state, and our country. Now more than ever, it's important to support Kim's independent voice. She has the courage to research and inform you about the real issues. It's not easy, and Kim could use your help. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute. Again, help Kim by contributing at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms wants you to be comfortable with your firearm purchase, so they make it easy for you. At Franktown, they know you want to try a firearm before you commit to your purchase. Franktown has a 10-lane, 30-yard range built into it that can handle handguns, rifles, and black powder loads, making your firearm purchase informed and insightful. An hour of range time is included with any purchase, so you can verify that you've made the right choice and for you to get to know your new firearm.
and training courses are available to teach you safety and techniques to operate it confidently. Whether you're a first-time buyer or seasoned expert, Franktown's dedicated staff and expert trainers will walk you through your decision. They help you to try the firearm that you're interested in, ensuring that they're the right option for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for your first firearm or adding to your vast collection, contact Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Indeed, it is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Jansen Photography, located in Lakewood, Colorado. Great friends of the show, Glenn Jansen, Mary Jansen, true entrepreneurs, beautiful property. So all kinds of different landscapes. They specialize in family portraits, portraits of children, senior portraits, which all of our seniors need to be getting those done because they'll need to get those into the yearbook very, very soon now that school has started. And then also that important photo that you need for your business or political career. So Jansen Photography can help you out. And that website is jansenphotography.com. Text line is 720-605-0647. Call in line 303-477-5600. Eric's on hold there. Quick question from one of our listeners, Patrick Moore. And Patrick Moore is the author of two very, very important books, and I have both of them. One of them is Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. And the other is 12 Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. So Patrick Moore, question on the text line is, what is biomass and crown fires?
Oh, biomass is just living matter. Like the limb of a tree is biomass. Your body is biomass. Although I don't think bones count as biomass. I'm not sure about that, actually. But living tissue is probably the best definition for biomass. I think it becomes something else when it's not living anymore. Although a piece of wood is kind of biomass. That's an interesting term, actually. It's of course from biology, which means life. So biomass, whether it's still alive or not, is all originated by life. And like in other words, the opposite of rocks. I suppose you could say the opposite of water, the opposite of hydrogen and the other elements that make up the air. So it's a term that means life, of life origin.
Okay. And crown fires, what are those?
Crown fires are when the fires get into the tops of the trees, which is known as the crown in forestry. In other words, it's the opposite of ground fires. Ground fires just sweep along the ground and don't get up into the crowns of the trees. When a fire gets up into the crowns of the trees, then the wind can just make it spread at 100 miles an hour or whatever speed the wind is going. Those are the fires that are so difficult to deal with and the ones that cause the most death because the fires move faster than any human or animal can run. Ground fires don't usually spread quite as fast as that and don't usually kill the trees.
Okay. Next thing, we have Eric on the line. Eric, what is on your radar?
Hi, Kim. Real fast. Hey, all you great Americans in Kim Land, Radio Land. This is Action Eric this morning, like Action Ann, okay? Write these numbers down to get your Tabor money. First number, 303-238-7378. Second number, 303-951-4996. Deadline to get your money to the sum of 750 biggins is October 17th, 2023. This is your money, you great Americans. And I, Kim, do you want to add to that before I go further, young lady?
Not at all. Go ahead.
Okay. Colorado Robert Gerald, state treasurer. Vote him out, you great Americans, next time around. Because he hid all this info. All of a sudden, it's, you know, the deadline's October 17th, 2023. Everybody listening, that money is yours, period. And Kim knows that. And to Steve, producer Steve, you're awesome. Thank you for your service, my brother. And now, producer Joe is now part of our 560 KLZ family. How lucky we all are to have this station and you. So good luck, Steve. God bless you, Kim. Oh, okay. And that's all I
got. Thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. And he is the creator of Eric's famous burritos. Dr. Patrick Moore, and those Tabor refunds, that is, that's actually revenue that the state has collected from us, and that is due back to us. So I know that Eric did a lot of research on that yesterday, so thank you. Dr. Patrick Moore, it is always a pleasure, and I learned so much. We've got just about a minute left. Looking into the future, I did see the Epic Times. This was a headline just the other day. Over 1,600 scientists and professionals sign a no climate emergency declaration. So your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, that's just it. There is no climate emergency is the most important thing to recognize today, because they are saying there is an emergency, like as if the siren should be going off every day. It's not true. There is lots of weather in this world. Some of it is dangerous and has been since the beginning of time. But in our civilization today, especially in the wealthier countries, we are very well protected from the weather compared to people in the past. Even today in poor countries where people are living in rickety little shacks and where hurricanes are more prevalent, they are at much more risk from the weather than we are in the wealthier countries. And if we actually go through with this stupid idea of ending fossil fuels, it will once again make us far more vulnerable to the weather than we are today. Just remember that weather is not climate. Climate is the average of weather. And when you look at the average of weather over the last few hundred years, it hasn't changed that much. It's changed just a little bit. And 400 years is nothing in geological time. This ice age that we're in has been here for 2.5 million years. 50 million years ago, it was way warmer than it is today. And all the life lived through that. What people don't realize is that every living thing on this earth, from every insect to every plant to every person, represents a continuously successful reproduction since the beginning of life, or we wouldn't be here. So all of the life forms here today are, in fact, have lived through more time than anyone that came before us. So we are the most baddest, you know, species that ever lived. We can put up with an awful lot of stuff because our ancestors came through all that and survived. Because if they hadn't, they would have gone extinct and we wouldn't be here today.
Patrick Moore, thank you so much. There's lots of nuggets of wisdom in there. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and live well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.